Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Charlotte Wright, and she is the managing editor for the University of Iowa Press. Good morning to you, Charlotte.
Good morning.
Charlotte, I was really excited when I saw a brochure that lists a lot of your books, and one of them it listed was An Iowa Schoolma'am, Letters of Elizabeth Bess Corey. And come to find out, we're talking about a young woman right here from this area.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Grew up on a farm near Marnie, as I understand?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. And then taught in the area also. But let's talk a little bit about what's the idea behind this book. What does this book present about letters of Elizabeth Corey?
She was a 17-year-old farm girl who went to school at Walnut School and became a teacher and taught in country schools for the next few years until she was 21 and moved to South Dakota to be a woman homesteader.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote letters home to her family, her mother, and six siblings while she was teaching. So the letters give some insight into how she lived, how she traveled around, how they communicated, as well as what she did in the country schools.
It's pretty remarkable to me that all of these letters were saved.
Yes, her mother saved them. Her mother had been a school teacher also, and her younger brother became a novelist, Paul Corey, who is famous for novels he wrote about Iowa. So they were kind of a literary family.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to go through a lot of these letters to kind of, well, for one thing, the writing style is very different. Spelling is quite different. So you kind of had to do some editing to help us be able to read those letters.
Absolutely, yes. I corrected the spelling wherever it was necessary, although I wanted to save the flavor of how she wrote also. So a lot of the misspellings and things I left in,
mm-hmm.
Especially because then you could see her progress. She had only a ninth grade education, but as she taught, she got better and better at spelling and grammar.
Well, anybody who's ever been a teacher knows that you learn at least as much as the student learns.
Absolutely.
So she's showing this. And I found as I was reading the letters that because the writing is a bit different than the way we perhaps write now, that I had to read, two or three, four letters before I sort of got into it, and then it got easier to read them.
Yes, and that's true of any writing that uses dialect. If you read Mark Twain, for example, it takes you a while to get used to the punctuation and spelling of the odd words.
And the years that these letters cover, 1904 to 1908, were there some surprises to you as you read through these letters about what went on between a teacher and the students and how that teacher lived?
Yes, I was surprised at how much a part of the community and the community ways the teacher had to be. For instance, one of her students, the mother of one of her students, died during the year and had been sick for quite a bit. And she was expected to go over and sit at the sick bed and then to sit by the body afterwards, after the mother had died. She was the one to break it to the student that his mother had died. So they really formed more community bonds than we think of, or that would be allowable today, really, with a student.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on one hand, it's a pretty small area where they were traveling. But I was surprised at she often writes about, I went to visit these people, I went to visit these, I went to town. Did a lot of traveling outside the school, but it was all very close.
Yes, and she traveled by foot a lot. There's a lot of descriptions of,
mm-hmm.
of tromping through the mud or the snow,
mm-hmm.
and just barely making it. She would hitch a ride whenever possible, but then it wasn't seemly for her to be seen by herself with a man, so she couldn't just hitch a ride anywhere
mm-hmm.
she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the trains were very useful and prevalent during this time, so she traveled by train a lot, too.
Now, she started teaching when she was 17.
Yes.
And that was pretty normal.
Yes, that was pretty normal, and oftentimes her students would be that age, the big boys, as
yes.
she called them. And so being a female, she would have a hard time sometimes, as all teachers would, to restore order some days if the big boys got unruly.
You know, I have to add in here, and some of the listeners know that I live in a country school, and some people called it a little bit of heaven, and others called it a little bit of hell. And I think that's when the big boys were there.
Yes. and there are both kinds of stories in
yes,
the book.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I remember one of the recent letters I read was where they locked her out of the school.
Yes.
They picked her up and locked her out.
Mm-hmm. It was called Putting the Teacher Out. And a lot of times some of the adults would actually encourage their kids to do this as a prank. But she was very alert for that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And she was a very large woman. She weighed over 200 pounds usually. And so it was a little hard to put her out if she didn't want to go.
Yeah, I guess. And then the other thing that, again, people who are listening who know about these country school teachers, they lived with their students' families a lot of times.
Yes, they did. And that was a bone of contention sometimes. They were expected to either pay some rent or help out with the family chores, including milking or mm-hmm. cooking or babysitting. And they often had a very, very small room, sometimes even had to share a room with another family member, which it was close quarters.
Yes, those were some of the challenges, but I think anybody that was going to become a teacher pretty much knew that.
Yes.
Now, in the foreword, this another thing that you can gather from this book, in addition to the delightful tales of Bess, is about education. Again, these letters cover 1904, about the progress of education. My goodness, in 1904, not many students were expected to go to school through eighth grade and go on to high school.
Right, and high school was beginning in the ninth grade, and oftentimes if you went to high school, you had to, as a student, board with a family in town if you lived out in the country, and that's what Beth herself
mm-hmm.
did. And then you certified to teach if you graduated from high school. If you didn't, then you could attend a teacher's institute during the summer and get a temporary certificate, which is what Beth did.
Mm-hmm. And she, as you said, I wanted to mention, and you sort of mentioned this, that there she went on to homestead in Dakota.
Yes, in South Dakota. And she was one of very few women homesteaders, but she really loved farming and gardening, and she loved to be outdoors, and that was her dream, to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was not able to make her living solely like that, so she also taught when she got to mm-hmm. South Dakota.
And we can learn more about that homesteading experience.
Yes, there's a book called Bachelor Bess. That actually was published before this one, even though the letters are much later. And they take from 1908 until the time Bess died. And she wrote wonderful letters home to her family during that whole time, too.
Okay. So it's a way to it's a very personal way to learn more about what was going on in the country during that time period. And just a really, as I say, very interesting way to find that out. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how we can get this book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it's available from the University of Iowa Press, and we have a toll-free number that you can call, 800-621-2736, or we have a website, www.uiowapress.org. Or they're available on Amazon.
Okay, so lots of ways we can get this book. Now, University of Iowa Press, when you sent the book, you sent a little flyer that's advertising some of the books.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like to me that many of the books that University of Iowa Press does publish are about Iowa. How do you decide what books you're going to publish?
Because we're an academic press, a university press, we have a very strict regimen for how the kinds of books that we can accept. People send books to us quite a bit, and then we evaluate them to see, how well written they are, how they hold up to fact-checking and things like that. Then we send them to expert readers who say, yes, this is a good contribution to the subject area, or no, this has been done before. So it takes quite a while, about a year usually, from the time we get a book until we decide to publish it. But we do have a lot of Iowa authors. Iowans love to read about themselves and about the past, about farming and the rural areas. We have a lot of photograph books. We have photograph books about old barns, old schoolhouses, a lot of farm memoirs. We have one coming out this next season. So we do publish a lot of Iowa authors.
And I think they would make wonderful Christmas presents. We're getting close to that season. If you think you'd like to give a book to somebody, this would be a wonderful resource to look at some very unusual and interesting books. So we want to thank you very much, Charlotte Wright, for visiting with us about An Iowa School Ma'am, Letters of Elizabeth Bess Corey from our Southwest Iowa area, and about the University of Iowa Press.
Thank you so much for calling.
Until next time, here's a thought. If you think education is expensive, try ignorance.